Let's welcome aboard right now Nelson Figueroa, my partner over at Picks 11. Obviously, SNY formerly, former Met pitcher, pitched for Arizona. Figgy, I love you. It's a Christmas Eve. I can't avoid you. What's going on, buddy?
Merry Christmas, Mr. Melusis. How are you?
I'm doing well, doing well. And, you know, baseball is always in the air, Figgy. There's no question about it. You know, let's start with the Mets. Do you like... I think there are a little Met fan, there are some Met fans maybe a little concerned about this Met starting rotation. Do you like what David Stearns has done this offseason?
Well, I think David Stearns proved last year that he kind of has an idea of what he's doing. He likes to get some guys that maybe seem like a retread projects or projects that they feel like they can get a lot of value out of what they're spending for them. They were able to do that with Sean Manaea and, of course, Luis Severino last year. Both guys signed, you know, over $22 million, just $25 million, respectively. This year, they bring Manaea back because he was such a good fit with the team last year, and his second half numbers were outstanding. So they're hoping that he's going to be able to maintain that over the next three seasons. I think that's the one thing. We had no idea who David Stearns was and what he was capable of doing. We like what he was able to do last year. He made it all the way to be one of the final four teams in baseball without having your ace the whole season, without having five aces in your rotation. And you know that he's a big depth kind of guy, not necessarily banking it all on one superstar when it comes to the starting rotation. Building a bullpen as well is going to be a major part of his what he's going to be able to do this offseason. So I like what he's done thus far. I don't feel like they're done as of yet, but I think you do have a solid 6-7 starters that you can go with. And I think we talked about this last night on the show, how the Los Angeles Dodgers, for all the acclaim that they got, it wasn't their starting rotation that was able to take them to the promised land. You know, it was more so their bullpen. They didn't rank in, you know, the top half of baseball in the majority of categories for starting pitchers, and yet they were still able to get, you know, and win a ring last year, even against a team like the Yankees.
When you look at the transition from Holmes from reliever to starter, now he started, you know, previously as a professional, but what is that going to look like, and do you think it will work?
You know, one of the things is you look at the guy and his build, his stuff. Clay Holmes is never a question of a stamina kind of thing. You know, unfortunately for Clay Holmes, we've seen him throw 45, 50 pitches in an outing where that's not normal for a closer. So I think he's the kind of guy that he wants to do this. I think he, is going to train this whole offseason to do it. This isn't like you're just flipping a switch midseason. This isn't the job of Chamberlain going from, you know, being one of the best relievers to, oh, imagine if we could just extrapolate that for 6 or 7 innings, he'd be one of the best starters as well. They did that midseason back in 2008. And so I don't think that's what we're looking at here. We're looking at somebody who's going to train differently, be prepared differently. And also, what's a starter nowadays? Going two times through the lineup. So if you're able to get Clay Holmes out there with his stuff, he throws 3-plus pitches, probably having to use his changeup a little bit more as a starter. But I do think his stuff plays. You're looking at swing and miss stuff. He's a kind of ground ball pitcher that a starting pitcher would adhere to and be able to use that defense. So he's got both ends of it, closer type stuff, but maybe just a change of scenery, a change of environment is going to help him because it wasn't his stuff. It was just his inability to kind of throw strikes and lose the strike zone and then all of a sudden make that one bad pitch that seems to be his downfall all year long.
You know, Figgy, I'm curious. Everyone's fired out their opinions on Soto with the Mets, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're a former player. You know, you're still very close to the Mets organization as well. But, you know, you've got sweat equity with that franchise too. I'm curious from your perspective. You and I were both out there covering the presser, mm-hmm. you know, and it was unlike, you know, a press conference I've ever seen. But what does the Soto signing mean to you?
What it means to me is this. We have never seen a superstar take off a Yankee uniform and put on a Met uniform. We have seen it the other way around. We have seen some of the, you know, greatest Mets of my childhood with Daryl Strawberry, Dwight Gooden, David Cohn, all those guys going from being Mets to being Yankees and finding success being Yankees and winning a World Series and throwing their no-hitters and their perfect games. Those kinds of things are remembered in the Yankee uniforms. And so this is the first time that you're going to see a guy in the prime of his career be willing to choose the Mets over the Yankees. And yes, money had a lot to do with it. You know, the Yankees made a very generous offer as well, but I do think at the end of the day, he felt, you know, the culture was different for him, and also that the, you know, I guess what they plan to do for his family, the suites, and there's a lot of other things that we don't know about. But I think to get a superstar like that in his prime, putting on a Met uniform is a huge, huge statement for what Steve Cohen is able to do.
All right, let me ask you about Alonso and Bregman here. You know, which one, or do you think both end up in Queens?
So, listen, I love Pete, and I think Pete has been an outstanding Met and major league hitter, you know, one of the best prolific power hitters in the game since he's come up to the big leagues. And he has bought into being a Met, the LFGM mantra, you know, being accountable, always out in front of his locker, making the all-star team, doing the home run derby. All those things are great. And I think he's just in a precarious situation here, because if you look at what's coming next year, and if you're going to save your pennies, you got another superstar type hitter in Vladdy Guerrero, who may be a free agent next year. And he's going to be 26 years old, just like Soto, hitting free agency. And would you much rather have someone who's entering their prime for the next 5, 6 to 10 years, if not more, paired up with Juan Soto and Lindor and all those guys who are going to be there for a while? Or, you know, the Pete Alonso thing looks like, if it doesn't come back to the price that they want and the years that they want, that they're willing to walk on it. I mean, I wouldn't mind having Pete Alonso. I would love to have Pete Alonso in the lineup. But I think if you're looking at this thing from the perspective of you can just wait 1 year and make do, then you look at somebody like Bregman, or, I mean, we forget about Mauricio. Mauricio was had a fantastic beginning to his rookie season, and then he got hurt in winter ball. They have so many young players that you would like to see get a chance. So there's a multitude of ways that they can go at this. Bregman, I don't know. I think his market as well, as a guy who's looking for $30 million a year. Could you, you know, wait that one out and see what you have in-house with Vientos being able to do either first or third? Or you get some kind of, you know, first baseman who can just be a guy to hold the fort down for a season and then go after Vladdy in a major way. I think that's what they're leaning more towards, is that if Vladdy's not going to get that extension from Toronto, and it looks like they're very far apart on that number, if Vladdy's going to wait around for more of a, you know, not nearly a Soto type number, but we're looking at upper echelon salary, then I think that's what the Mets are kind of waiting on. And wow.
Figgy, like I think it's always good. Like, I'd be surprised if he's not back with the Mets. You're telling me that you think there's a good chance he's not in Flushing in 2025.
I think what we saw from the Mets was they sat back and said the whole time, we'll let Pete go to free agency and see what the market dictates. And they've sat back and they have not jumped out. And they have not panicked with all the signings of all the other free agent first basemen and all the trades for other first basemen. They haven't really batted an eyelash at it. And for some reason, I think that's in the back of their mind. That's their ace in the hole, is you do know we just locked up a guy who's hitting his prime at 26 to, you know, the biggest contract ever. And that's looking very good for a guy like Vladdy Guerrero. He's not going to get his number. He's willing to walk as well. And so I think that's a matchup that, you know, you could foresee that being a reason why they wouldn't jump at the opportunity for Pete. Otherwise, it just seems like, why hasn't it been done already? It's too simple of a bring him back. You bring him back on a contract, whether it has incentives at the end, whether whatever way they want to do it with the opt-outs. That may be what they do, and you give him a 2-year with an opt-out, and you still go for Vladdy because the pockets are that deep. But I don't know. It's just there's got to be a reason that doesn't make sense to most of us for Pete Alonso to not already be in a Met, be already offered a contract with the Mets.
All right, over to the Yankees, Figgy. And do you like what Cashman, the pivot? I mean, listen, they got spurned. They wanted Soto back. It's a huge hit on a lot of different levels. There's no question mm-hmm. about it. Do you like the way that Cashman and the multitude of moves that he's made? Freed, Bellinger, Devin Williams, Paul Goldschmidt. Do you like the pivot of the Yankees?
I do like the pivot, but doesn't it still feel like it, they're incomplete. They don't feel as whole as when they just got Soto last year. And it was like, oh my God, we got Soto and Soto and Judge, and this is going to be the pairing. It just doesn't feel as complete because you have Goldschmidt, you know, 37 years old. Can you be MVP caliber? Just 2 years ago, MVP caliber, looked lost last year, for an extended period of time. Can he have a bounce back? Sure. Is he a guy that you'd love to have in your uniform? Absolutely. When you look at Bellinger, I like the Bellinger move because of his flexibility, because of his athleticism, that left-handed bat. Again, I feel like if he's batting in front of Aaron Judge as protection, he's going to see a lot of pitches to hit. And let's put it this way. He doesn't, when he hits it, they go a long, long way. So I'm excited for that one. The Devin Williams is the masterclass of all masterclasses. Unless something's really wrong with Devin Williams, I have no idea how that trade was okay by the Milwaukee Brewers in any way, shape, or form. Ernesto Cortez and the promise of a rookie who could be a good player. Devin Williams is one of the best closers in all of baseball with a changeup, you know, that we haven't seen since Trevor Hoffman. So that was an amazing steal of a trade. And then, of course, Fried. I love Fried when he's available and he's healthy, but I felt like it was a jump to make sure that they got their guy that they wanted. 8 years of that contract. Let's see how that, you know, back end of that plays out. But without a doubt, when he's healthy, he's one of the best pitchers in baseball and somebody that I thought the Mets should have made a run at, but there was no way I thought that he was going to get 8 years. So, but I do like the fact that Cashman answered. He answered. He put back a lot of pieces in place. He took that, you know,
more work. There's more work to do.
Oh, without a doubt. Oh, without a doubt. I mean, there's more work to be done, and there's just a lot of question marks on where is Jazz going to play? Is he going to play third? Is he going to play, you know, second? What do you want to do there? You know, are you going to go younger? Are you going to, you know, is DeMarcus going to play right away? Where is he going to play? So there's a lot of different things. Always pitching. Never feels like it's enough, even though that rotation now with those top two guys, as long as they're healthy, is a great 1-2 punch to have. Rodon, again, had pitched very well at times last year. Just, you know, he kind of got a little over-anxious in the playoffs. But I do think that he's made tremendous moves, and hopefully they're not done yet, so that they can rebuild and get back to the World Series again.
Now, you can catch Figgy on Picks 11 with myself, 7 o'clock each every night, Sports Nation Nightly. He's also on Fridays with Figgy, with Marisol. I'll ask you this question, Figgy. It's Christmas Eve. Who do you enjoy working more with, myself or Marisol?
Oof. See, you and me, it's like brothers. It's like brothers or stepbrothers. Like, you know, there's so many things we get done during the day and so many arguments we have before we even get on the air. With Marisol, it's always, we're playing nice. There's never really an argument. So it's like playing with my, you know, getting a chance to be on TV with my sister and you know, hit a variety of different topics other than the sports world. But she's such a, you know, she's such a nut about baseball and the Mets and being grown up from the Bronx. So it lends itself to some really good banter. But there's definitely no replacing the moose in my life.
That's a tremendous... You should be a politician, Figgy. I mean, that is a tremendous non-answer. It really is. You did a wonderful job of walking us down the road and not really giving us one answer, no cut and dry way one way or the other. Nice job, Figgy.
Come
I put you on the spot. That's fair. What is a Figueroa Christmas tradition? Like, is there anything that you guys do in your family on this Christmas Eve or Christmas Day that you do every year?
So normally we go all the way to Brooklyn, back to my mom's house, and she has a three-bedroom apartment, and it's not as big as it sounds. And there's usually somewhere between 35 and 50 people in this little three-bedroom apartment, scattered all over the apartment. Kids are playing video games in one room. Kids are doing, you know, puzzles and coloring books in another room. And then you have all the adults out, you know, watching TV, watching probably Elf is on TV for a while and all the other Christmas movies. Then all of a sudden, you know, they break out the Xbox with the dancing games and people start dancing. We got my dad and my grandmother. We're playing dominoes in the kitchen table. There's food all over the place, people all over the place. So a lot of love, a lot of family, a lot of smiles. And of course, you know, just having that chance to spend that time together. This year is going to be different. We're going to my brother's in Staten Island at his house. So he's going to get a chance to see what it's like to host this this event. And we'll see if that many people will show up all the way to Staten Island and take that ride across the Verrazano Bridge.
Yeah, well, listen, Merry Christmas to you and your family, Figgy. You know I love you. We'll end with this. When is someone going to tell Soto it's really a Yankee town and it's not a Met town?
So I think he was on the team that got swept by the Mets last year, and so he can't really tell that as of now. He wasn't here for the 27 championships of the Yankees.
No, he wasn't. No, it's true.
He tried to get one. He tried.
He did. He did. No, it was a nice jab by Soto. The other thing that was interesting is, and I mentioned earlier in this hour, Figgy, the Soto signing to the Mets will change, you know, this rivalry forever. Like, we are about to embark on Mets-Yankees, something unlike that we have not seen since they met in the World Series. With the vitriol, the anger, the passion, it's going to make baseball in 2025 and beyond between the Mets and the Yankees absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, no, I agree 1,000%. I do think, like, there's the star power to go along with it, where you have all these guys. You know, you wanted the evil empire to strike back, and they did. They spent money. They went out and got, you know, one of the best pitchers in baseball to answer. They got one of the best closers in baseball to answer for losing Clay Holmes to the Mets as well. They went also and got, you know, a former MVP, two former MVPs to stack together with Judge. So they have former MVPs just like the Dodgers did. So it'll be very interesting to see exactly which way this thing continues to go. I just think it's great for baseball when the New York teams are good and competitive and going to be hopefully for deep playoff runs for both of them.
Figgy, I love you. Merry Christmas to you and your family. Appreciate the time this morning. Right, brother?
Same to you, Donna, and the boys, man. I love you very much. We'll catch up here on Thursday.
You got it. And Nelson Figueroa from Pix 11. Check him out with myself, Sports Nation Nightly at 7 o'clock. Also Fridays with Figgy, with Marisol Castro from 10 to 11 a.m. on Pix 11 as well. Talk a little New York baseball.